I want to just welcome you all here. Many of you have come back that have been here with us for the first two calls. This is day three of the Wiser and Wilder Fire Circle Women's Gathering and Community. Yay, I am just thrilled to be back with you today. It's exciting. And I'd like my two Fire Circle leaders, Mona and Taya. Mona, if you could just say a quick hello on the phone.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, and Taya, you too?
Howdy. So glad to be here.
I'm glad to have both of you here. I feel like this has been just an amazing event already. This is the third day, and both days have been so profound. If you've been to both days, or at least one other than today, and you're in the chat, you know, maybe mention, you know, what you've gotten out of the first two calls or the first call. And if you're here for the first time, you could say that as well. And those of you that are here for the first time live, I just really want to welcome you. It's very cool, you know. What's true is, though, is that whether you're here live or whether you're listening to the recording, whether you're joining us on the Facebook group page, you're all part of this circle. So I'm just thrilled to have you all back today. And Elizabeth, welcome. Joe Alexis, welcome. Jennifer, Naomi. This is so cool. I'm just seeing so many familiar people and people I love. And I've met so many new women. You all have. Those, you know, the Facebook page is just hopping. You know, if you haven't been on it, I really encourage you to join with us after the call. The Facebook group is facebook.com/group/WiserAndWilder. And you should be getting multiple emails from me once you've opted into this event. And that Facebook group page is got the link right in the email. Okay, so that's the easiest way to find it. And then you can just ask to join, and we'll prove it, and you're in. Yeah, Chrissy, you've been here every day, which is awesome. Thank you. So we start the circle a similar way each time in that I've had a vision of doing this for a long time. I'm one of these people that love, I don't love being on the computer, okay? I just need to say that. But I do love social media. It's kind of a conflict, I realize that. But I love social media. I love Facebook especially because it's so much about engagement and community and connecting with people, right? I mean, to me, that is the gift of Facebook. It's all about building relationships, and I have made some of the best friends from Facebook. So, you know, it's really true. So I've had this idea, though, of doing a virtual fire circle for a while because I love fire circles. I love sitting with women around a circle and just that energy, and the fact that we can be in different parts of the world right now and be together is so profound. So what I'd like you to do, invite you all to do for a moment, wherever you are on the planet, just to stop for a second and just close your eyes and go into that mindful place that you, as we as women, can go to very easily. And from that place, I want you to just imagine you're sitting in a circle. And it's not even an imagining, because it's real. This is a real circle right now. And just, you know, there's like over 300, like 350 of us now that have joined this event, which is huge, from all over the world. So know that you're sitting in a circle with all these beautiful women. It's nighttime. It's dark. You're seeing the moon in the sky getting bigger and bigger as we move toward the full moon. It's a larger crescent shape, but and you're seeing that fire in the center of the circle burning and just gorgeous sparks going up in the air. You can look around the circle to your right and look to your left, and you see the shining faces of the other women. You smell that smell of the fire and the wood burning. You put your arms out, and you gently hold hands with the woman on your right and the woman on your left, and just feel the warmth of their hands and your hands, and know that we're in a complete circle with each other. and just feel the energy moving around the circle. It's beautiful, woman energy, healing, community, gathering type energy that we're holding together in the light here, with the firelight. And know that we're all together. And what I want you to do is tune in right now to the wild woman part of yourself. And that's going to mean different things to different people. But your wild woman is that part of you that just has that sparkle in her eye, right? She's got that trickery smile. She's somebody that will, you know, dye your hair bright colors and put tattoos on your arms, and she'll take off her clothes and dance in a circle right now around the fire, right? Because she's wild, and she doesn't worry about what she looks like or what people think of her. She just knows that she has to follow the juice. She has to follow her energy where it goes. And there's that part of you that wants to be creative, that's afraid to do something, but you will overcome the fear and go for it. That's your wild woman. She'll paint, she'll write, she'll get up and speak in a microphone, she'll wear stupid clothes if she feels like it. She'll be exposing herself, and she just goes for it, right? So get part of that. Get in touch with who that is for you, because that's going to be different for each of us. And I want you to listen to her and what she says to you about what you need to do to bring her out even more, to bring that, to allow her to be even more fuller in your life right now than she already is. What's one thing you need to do? And maybe you can put that into one word, which would be perfect for what we're going to do next year. So I'd like you to then just gently open your eyes and really tune into that one word. And if you're here in the chat with us, write your one word into the chat. If you're not in the chat and you're listening live right now, after the call, go onto the Facebook group and share your word with us. And some of you may want to think of a color that goes with your word and a symbol, and you can share that on the Facebook page as well. We're getting lots of words on the chat: courage, play, momentum, surrender, embody, express, release fear, love, scream, let go, simply be, say yes, evolve, magenta, step forward, beautiful, move more. Yay. And if you're here listening to the recording later, you're still here with us right now. We're all together in one moment right now. Dance in the rainbow spiral. I love that, Chrissy. Wild abandon. Inner warrior strong. Authentic. I don't know about all of you, but as I'm reading these words that are coming into the chat, and I'm just tuning into all of your words, whether you can write them in or not, it's beautiful. This is like phenomenal. Can you imagine if we all did this, if we all actually listened to this one word we're getting and did it, what would happen? I mean, what would happen? How much more powerful would we be as women right now? And what we're supposed to be doing, what we're meant to be doing in the world, how we're meant to be, who we're meant to be. And that's the whole point, isn't it? Yeah. And Naomi says, this feels amazing in this circle. Exactly. It is amazing. We are amazing. The last 2 days, we've talked a lot about how, just as what's come up in people's stories, of how people have felt held back, right? And the challenges you've had to bring yourself truly forward and be who you're meant to be. And that's been the theme. And so this felt like the next piece of it today is really finding that wild woman part of yourself and bringing her back, really from wherever she's been hiding. And if she's only partly back, it means she's partly hidden, right? So it's really being aware of that. And, you know, I'm going to share a little bit of my story before we bring on Taya and Mona to share their stories. So, you know, I have so many stories around this topic, but just to sort of give a briefer picture of it, you know, I've been basically an entrepreneur my whole life, okay? And I know many of you have had corporate jobs and you've been teachers and done all kinds of amazing things, but I graduated from college and started a business making pottery when I was 24 and just set up crates and started making pottery and selling it because I didn't want to work for somebody. I was definitely a don't fence me in type person, right? Those of you in the chat, if any of you can relate to that, raise your hand and say yes, because I thought anybody I worked for was going to tell me what to do, and I wanted to be the one that told me what to do. So I started selling my pottery and loved it and did that for 7 years, right? And then I realized I missed being with people. Well, I was pulled away in my studio all the time, so I wanted to do something that was involved working with people. Now, you'll love this next piece. I didn't know that business was about people. My vision of business was a man with a briefcase going off to an office. I grew up in the 1950s, and that's what I saw, right? I had no idea that I could work in a business, and I didn't even know my pottery thing was a business, right? I was just being an artist and selling pottery. So, and it was very people-oriented. I loved that part when I was at the Saturday market, but the rest of it I was alone. So anyway, you know, I went to graduate school in counseling because I thought working with people, right? And then it wasn't quite right. I did really well at it, but it was a lot of working with families, with abuse, and really heavy stuff. And I realized through the long, windy road that I wanted to help people that were healthier, but just wanted to be more, more evolved, you know, a version of their self, more step into more of their leadership, all the things I'm doing now. And when I moved to New Zealand, I realized, without realizing it, intuitively, I was naturally good at marketing, and I managed to fill up my whole counseling practice just by going out in the community and giving talks, right? And then counselors started coming to me and saying, how did you manage to do this? Will you show me how? So what I did was thinking my intuition wasn't good enough. I needed to learn about marketing and business and all that. And really it brought back a message from my childhood that said, you're not very smart. Nobody told me I wasn't smart, but they didn't tell me I was smart. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Sometimes it's what you're not told as well as what you are told. And I don't know if anybody gets that or not. You can raise your hand, but that's how it was for me. So in my whole long, windy road process of stepping into learning, feeling like I could be a business person, I lost track of my wild woman completely because I thought I have to be somebody that I'm not. And if any of you have ever felt that statement, I have to be somebody I'm not, your wild woman will be far away somewhere buried. And that's what I did. I moved back to the United States at the end of 2004 and thought, I have to be a business person now. And I left my wild woman in New Zealand on the beach where she wanted to be, where I wanted to be with her, really. But I didn't bring her with me. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I realized that, and I had to invite her back. And in order to write my book, Wiser and Wilder, I had to invite her back. She was a partner of my book. She helped me write the whole thing. So that's a little bit of my story, but it was really walking through the fire for me of losing myself. You know, I really got sick, and I don't know if any of you on the chat have had that experience of just doing what you're not supposed to do, and you lose your energy and you get sick and everything. And that's how it was for me. I just lost my soul in the process. So, yeah, and so in order to write this book, which I knew was my life work, it was my legacy, you know, and I had to bring her back. And so she was a partner in writing the book. And I'll tell you more about the book later, but I wanted to just give you my little one of my little stories there right at the beginning. So, what, you know, anything, or could relate to anything I said. If you're in the chat, you could, yeah, Steph says, yeah, I agree so much with what your statement is, and, yeah, and, yeah, a couple of people are saying, yeah, I get it, which is really great, and I know I'm not alone with this. So I've invited both Taya and Mona to be with us today, and I want to take a minute to just, this is just a moment, but I really appreciate it if you all would be with me with this, because my dear friend Brenda McIntyre was supposed to be with us today, and some of you know that her son was killed, and I just want to, you know, as a group, just send her some beautiful energy right now, and I have a huge amount of gratitude that Mona has stepped in to take her place in the circle with us today. But I want to take that moment to really acknowledge Brenda, because I still see her as part of this circle right now. Okay, so thank you for that. I really appreciate it. It seemed really important, because this was her day that she was supposed to be here with us.
Yes.
So all of us just holding her in that place is great. Thank you, Naomi. Yeah. Okay, so this is the question I've been asking all of my Fire Circle leaders this week, and I'm going to repeat the question for both Mona and Taya, okay? Thinking back to when you first began in business, what was one challenge you had, and how were you able to access your own inner wisdom to help you through it? How was this like walking through the fire, and what did you learn from it? How does this make a difference now, many years later, and how do you still use that wisdom piece to keep you aligned and on track? So that's the question I'm going to ask both of you. And what I'm going to do is just bring you both on one at a time, and I'll introduce you. And Taya, are you here? I'm going to call on you first, if you're ready.
Sure. Yeah, I'm here.
So, quick, just a little introduction for Taya. Taya's got a long name, and I sometimes say it incorrectly. So, please, I'm sorry. Taya Sylvester Guthrie. That's pretty good, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Taya is the founder of Story Bistro, the Business Luminaries Roundtable, and the author of Attract and Feed a Hungry Crowd, How Thinking Like a Chef Can Help You Build a Stronger Business. She teaches workshops in brand storytelling and mentors creative solopreneurs, coaches, and authors on the art of building a heart-centered and world-changing business. And, you know, Taya and I met each other as part of a coaching group we were both part of for a few years, and now we're in a mastermind group together, and she's becoming a dear friend, and I'm so happy you're with us here, Taya. And I know some of your Taya has a major part of her story in my book, by the way. And when you get my book and read it, you can read that story. And I don't know, you're probably not going to share the same story today, but I just wanted to mention that whatever you share today is great. So, Taya, the microphone is yours.
Okay. Well, I have to be honest, I don't remember which story I told you. So
it doesn't matter. Just go
good.
For it.
Okay. Well, I wanted to take everybody back to 2008. You guys kind of probably remember what was happening in the world at that time. You know, the economy was starting to take a little bit of a dive. I had been in business for about 3 years at that point. I had built a fairly successful marketing agency. You know, people would come to us to put on events, put together branding, logos, websites, you know, all the stuff that you need to put yourself out there in the world. We did that. We did it for a specific audience, though, you know. The name of my company was called Social Good Marketing, and I had a very strict rule, and that rule was that I would only use my marketing superpowers for good. We would not do any negative or fear-based messaging, because I was really adamant that we not do that. You know, it was especially in light of what had been happening in the country in terms of, you know, being on red alert when we weren't needing to be on red alert, things like that. So I had that rule, and I assumed that all of the clients I was attracting to me were like-minded and like-hearted, and, you know, they were good because I was social good marketing, right? So everybody was good. And there was a gentleman who hired me to work with him in putting together a eco-friendly, sustainable trade show, which would have been the first one of its kind in the area that I lived in at the time. And he had a partner, and so there was basically the three of us working together on this project for almost a year. And because I assumed he was good, because he said he was, I allowed him to delay paying me most of my services until after the event, until after we had collected all of the money for the booths that we were selling for different people. And, you know, when I looked later at how many hours I had put in and all of the things that had gone on there, it really was approximately, you know, around $25,000 worth of my time and effort. And when we got to that place where it was time to pay me, he got very sheepish and said I had to give the money to the other guy because he, you know, whatever, I owed him the money. And so there's no more money. And I'm very sorry, and I'm leaving town, and there's not much I can say. So I had been depending on this really big chunk of change to cover a lot of different expenses and so forth. And it was really rough knowing that money was not going to be coming in. What was harder, though, was the next day when I started getting phone calls from some of the vendors that we had hired that I had signed contracts for on his behalf, who said that he wasn't paying them. And because I had signed the contracts on his behalf, it was now my responsibility to pay those invoices. Some of these were for advertising in the paper. Some of these were for radio ads. You know, there was all kinds of stuff that we were doing to promote the event. And it racked up to somewhere in the neighborhood of $6,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I sucked it up, and I paid those. And people were very, you know, this was a smallish community, so I had really good relationships with these vendors already. And they were very empathetic to my situation, but, of course, they wanted to be paid. And, you know, it wasn't like they were going to let me off the hook. So everybody was trying to tell me, you should sue him. You know, you should track him down and get him arrested and for fraud and doing all of these things. And constantly the messages were, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, and I was so sad. I was really just crushed, you know, because I felt like my naivete had really done me wrong, you know, that I had assumed someone was good and that they would never do that to me. and I was wrong, right? So at that particular point, I had bills that I had to pay. I had some staff members that I had to lay off. I had to put some different pieces of equipment for sale, and I was hanging really by a thread in my business. And so I wanted to give up. I was just like, I don't want to be an entrepreneur anymore. This is not fun, right? This is not who I am. And if people aren't good, then why am I here? So you start questioning, you know, what was the whole purpose of what I was doing, and why should I even continue? Now, thankfully, I had a client who, at that particular point, wanted to hire me full-time. They wanted to give me a job, and they wanted to take over the lease on my office, and they wanted to buy all my equipment in the office. You know, so it was, I really was saved from disaster by this relationship that I had already existing with a different client. And it was a wonderful respite, because in 2009, you know, things really got bad, and I didn't have to worry about any of that at that point. But about a year and a half into it, I started to feel that entrepreneurial itch, you know. I was in a really lovely organization, and we were doing beautiful things, but my ideas and my plans and my creativity were not as appreciated as perhaps they could have been, you know, in my opinion. It was a small nonprofit, and so if you've ever worked for a nonprofit, you know that there's a lot of, we can't do that because we don't have the capacity, right? So there's a lot of that kind of thinking. And it began to be a little bit challenging for me. One thing happened, though, and that was that I met my now husband, who thankfully had plenty of money coming in because he worked in Silicon Valley. So he invited me to come and move in with him and, you know, leave my job and take some time to just really think about who I was and what I wanted. And it didn't take long. You know, when I started doing what I loved again, which was cooking and writing, I realized that that I hadn't been doing what my wild and wise woman really wanted to do, right? I had this long career in marketing, so I assumed that because of that, I needed to continue doing that. Even if I was choosing to do that for good businesses and good organizations, that would be the answer to what my purpose was, what my calling was. But the truth is, I really don't like marketing all that much. I like parts of it. You know, there's definitely parts of it that I love. I love the relationship building, and I love the getting out and building community and being creative with your words and your pictures. But there's a lot of marketing, and may, you know, most of you may not even be aware of this, that goes into left brain thinking. You know, we have to be very strategic and analytic, and we need to worry about return on investment, and all of those kinds of marketing best practices are horribly boring to me. I just would rather not. But I didn't realize that I was ignoring the parts of me that needed to be creative. And so when I started cooking and writing again, I realized that I could build a business around that, and that I could still be good and still work for good people who had purpose in the world, but that I didn't need to put it in that box of we're all going to be good together, because, you know, those kinds of expectations can sometimes cause problems. And I could also be really mature and smart and protect my heart, you know, and not give away the world just because I thought somebody was a beautiful soul in need. So that's kind of really where I got back in touch with who I was. And it was definitely, I would call it a spiral journey, because I think I started there in college. Then I, as I went out into the world, I kind of forgot about that wild woman. I mean, in college, I changed my name. You know, my name in college, after I changed my name, Thea del Alma Silvestre, means torchlight of the wild soul in Spanish.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, and that was who I was in college. But then when I went out into the work world and started doing, you know, like you said, corporate stuff and and trying to be the, you know, the official best practices marketing person, I lost track of that. And I kept trying to get back to it, you know. I thought it was about being good and making the world a better place, which is definitely part of it. But there is that messiness of not being good, right? So you said not worrying about what other people think. Well, when I was social good marketing, I worried like hell about everything, about what people thought, because I said, if I'm going to be social good marketing, that means I have to be good all the time. Mm-hmm. I have to walk the talk and make sure that every single thing I do is exactly right. And that was horrible. So,
oh,
you know, you couldn't even say the F word because then people would think that you were not being good. So,
wonderful story. You know, it's really how you went through the, you know, walked through the fire and rose up from the ashes, really. Just from being
painful.
A good person and trusting somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Painful.
So it reminds me a little bit of those of you that were here yesterday and heard Luna share about that important piece of being, you know, being kind of creative and doing it your way, but still being smart with money. And so it's the same thing, smart with who you trust and not just assuming that they're going to, you know, having things figured out ahead of time. You know, it's an interesting thing. How many of you, those of you in the chat, how many of you have ever done something like that where you have trusted somebody or you haven't really signed the contract correctly and then later realize that you should have been more responsible? I mean, yeah. I'm so glad that it all worked out for you, though. It's great. And I love how you said, you know, coming back to cooking and writing, this is like, I love that.
Yeah, and Susan D just in the chat said that I didn't mention about what the work I'm doing today, and it is definitely heart-centered. You know, I have shifted the idea of marketing way into some new realm.
I know,
so
you have. So we're going to move on to Mona in a second, but first before, and there might be time for you to come back, but can you just let people know how to find you?
Sure.
Your website address or whatever.
Super easy, storybistro.com.
Okay, and you could, for the chat people, you can write it in the chat if you want to. And everybody else, storybistro.com. That's great. Thanks for your story. It sounds like people really got a lot out of that and could relate to a lot of things you're saying. Yeah, and it's that integration of the wise and wild woman, you know. The wise woman would remind you to, you know, how to trust people and write contracts and all those things. And the wild woman never lets go of doing what you love.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the both of those together, you know. You have to be fiercely protective and not just of your money but of your creativity.
That's right. And so, you know, I've written quite a bit about the combination between those two parts of yourself. It's part of what's in my book. So those of you that buy the book will get to read more about that. Okay. Mona, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So Mona Das is a super connector, communicator, catalyst, entrepreneur, and explorer. She combines her passion for inspiring and connecting people by building community. She recently launched Moxie, to inspire, coach, and mentor women to live their life and earn their livelihood by following their true purpose. She has been a sought-after residential and commercial lender and loan consultant for the past 11 years. I first met Mona when I very first moved here to Portland and didn't know anybody and was trying to connect and went to this event called Dinner Girls, which I don't even know if it's around anymore, but
no.
You were there.
Yep.
And you were this powerhouse woman then. I was like, who is this woman? And eventually we were another networking group together, and I hired Mona to help me refinance my house. And, you know, she's been one of my clients, and our lives go on. You know, it's
yep.
great. And we're just part of each other's lives now. So, Mona, I welcome, and I'd love to hear your story about, you know, the way you walked through the fire and what you learned from it and how this
Thanks.
Has made a difference. Yeah.
Sure. Thanks, Kaya. I'm super excited to be here. As Kaya mentioned, I've been one of her clients off and on for a really long time and have known her for a long time, and it's just really fun to be invited to speak, so I'm really stoked about that. And Taya, your story is so interesting. The same thing happened to a friend of mine in LA. I'm wondering if it's the same guy. He did another conference called Sustainatopia down in LA, and he completely did the same thing to my friend. So you are, and it sounds like in the chat box, other people have experienced that. So that's awesome.
It was Southern California, so it might have been.
Yeah, I'll have to find out his name. We'll have to connect, because I'm wondering if it's the same guy. Super pattern, but anyway. You know, I have a lot of stories to tell and a lot of ways and different ways that I've walked through the fire. And, you know, a lot of what you shared earlier, Kaya, it resonates with me. You know, I started my world off in corporate America, and I sold software. And, you know, by age 26, I was super successful, and I was making $100,000 at age 26. And I just thought, you know, this is great. You know, whatever Dad said wasn't true. I can make money, and I'm so young, and this is amazing. And I kind of thought that's kind of how life was supposed to be. And, you know, in software, you get trained. You come in, you know, you meet with product managers, you meet with other salespeople. You know, you get a full training for, like, you know, sometimes up to a month. And, you know, I didn't realize then, you know, that, like you said, kind of, I think I now realize just today when you said that I've always been an entrepreneur, and I didn't even realize it. And I learned a term in grad school called intrapreneuring. And that's what I did when I worked in corporate America. I was an intrapreneur. I made change from within. I was an entrepreneur within an organization. And I always did things differently. And I've always been in male-dominated fields. And I love that, because I do things differently than all my male peers. And frankly, I run circles around them. I've always been very successful in sales. You know, and if you ask me, that's my background, and that's really one of my superpowers, and I'll get to that in a minute. But in software, you know, I just did things differently. I made relationships with, you know, the tech support people and the professional service people, and I made relationships from within, and those are the people who helped me be successful in my software career. And I'll never forget this day. I had a boss. His name was Gary B. I'll just leave it at that. And I should actually write him a thank you letter now, because he did change my life. At the time, it was an awful way. But, you know, I was always top dog in the room. You know, we called it the bullpen. It was inside sales. There were 50 of us, mostly men, mostly white men, and I'm a woman of color and a very loud and very boisterous woman, and very little. I'm very short, too. And I always did it differently, you know, and we were expected to be on the phone for 2 hours a day and to make 50 phone calls. And I'll tell you that my male peers actually figured out a way to scam the system. They would call 1-800 numbers, and they would be on the phone with an 1-800 number just listening instead of, like, actually calling people. And they would just hit redial 50 times to hit their 50, you know, their number. And I didn't do that. I went around, and I met the tech support people, and I talked to them, and I asked them about the weekend. And, you know, one time, so Gary B, we'll call him, came in, and every morning I would come in, he'd have a highlight of my call times and call volumes. And he'd say, you made half the number of calls, and you made half the call volume, And, you know, he was a mathematician, so in his mind, double the calls, double the call volume means double the sales. Well, I was number two in the room, and the only person that was ahead of me had a territory of New York City, and my territory was called the Four Corners, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and I forget the other one. I can't think of which one I just said. But anyway, the Four Corners is not as populous as New York City, as you can imagine. And I was always number two, and this guy, you know, number one. And instead of saying to me, like, Mona, how did you do it differently? How is it that you have half the call times and call volumes of everyone in the room, yet you're number two behind the New York City guy? You know, it was just that I was doing it wrong. And, you know, thank goodness for him that I left. You know, it was a teary day that I sat and cried in the bathroom for 2 hours, and I thought, I'm done. And this was a company that went public, and I had my shares were vesting. It was about $50,000 worth of shares vesting in a month. I had to just sit and grin and bear it for another month. And I'll tell you what, I said, screw it, and I left. I quit anyway. I mean, when someone makes you cry in the bathroom for 2 hours, it wasn't worth it to me. And I got a better job, and it was outside sales. And, you know, it was just one of those, it was the first lesson of, like, the money is not worth it. It's those golden handcuffs that try to keep you there. And for me, I was so young, I didn't know. And I said, I quit anyway. And oftentimes I think about that, and I've never regretted it, even though it was a lot of money. I never regretted it. And the look on his face when I resigned, he said, oh, I thought you'd wait until August, you know, when my shares were vesting. I was like, nope, I'm out of here. See you later. And that was kind of my first lesson in letting that wild woman out of, you know, not doing what everybody else did and not being a drone and not just waiting for my shares to vest and, you know, all of that. And I took that experience, and I just didn't know I was an entrepreneur. You know, I had no idea. And then my very first job in sort of entrepreneurial realm was I started in the mortgage industry back when it was booming in 2004, and people were making money hand over fist, and I thought, well, yeah, I can sell that too. You know, I started to realize that I was good at selling anything that I was passionate about, and I was really passionate about homes. I had already bought two homes, and I thought, you know, I'm really passionate about this. This sounds like a fun thing. And what I didn't realize, I had no idea. I call myself the accidental entrepreneur because I had no idea I was becoming an entrepreneur. In the mortgage industry, you're 100% commission. And what that means to me is that I don't have a boss. Because if I don't make anything, if I don't close any loans, I don't earn any money. And so it just gave me this license very slowly. I've been doing this for 12 years now, and it very slowly it started giving me this license of, like, oh, I don't have to go to the office every day. Oh, I don't have to be sitting behind my desk from 9 to 5. Oh, but all my peers, again, mostly males, mostly white, all white, actually, would always be sitting at their office from 9 to 5 every day. And I started networking, and again, that's where I met Kaya at an event called, at a group called Dinner Girls, and that's when I started, like, my business started growing, because I was just out meeting people, and like Kaya, I would just meet people, and one of my assistants at the time would just laugh, because I would come back to the office with loan applications on napkins, because I would just, you know, be talking to somebody, and they're like, oh yeah, we're ready to buy, and I would just start taking their loan application on a napkin and bring it into the office. So my assistant at the time would laugh, and she'd be like, oh, look, three napkins today. You were really busy last night.
So, Mona, this is a great story, and I just want to give you two more minutes, okay?
Yeah, great, perfect. Great. And so what happened was I was given, the day that I started, I was given an office and a laptop and a manual, and I didn't know how to become an entrepreneur. And what I very quickly realized was that I had some skills that nobody around me had, which was I had what I call now my superpowers, my three superpowers. And once I started just focusing on those three things and literally hiring out the rest, I hired out parts of the job that I didn't like. I hired, you know, I have a lawyer, I have an accountant, I have a woman who cleans for me. I don't also like to cook. I have somebody who brings meals to me. Like, I just literally hired out all the parts of my life that I don't like. And what I only focus on every day are the three things that I'm really good at, my three superpowers. And that, to me, has been the biggest lesson. I haven't been to my office in 7 years, and no one else that I know of in the mortgage industry is set up that way.
Everybody, tell us what your superpowers are, your three superpowers.
Well, that you'll have to read my blog for. That's a whole nother topic. But, you know, one of them would definitely be delegating, would be networking. There's a lot of other ones too. But, you know, what I recommend for people is just to figure out what those three things are. Maybe you're not in a position to hire out everything else quite yet, but start small. And what I started to realize is that when I hire somebody to do something that I'm not good at, it's something that they're good at. And I give them the opportunity to earn an income doing something that they love. And that's how I organize my whole staff. My business manager does only the three things that she's good at, and she's excited about, you know, outsourcing the parts of the job that she doesn't like as well. And for me, it's about inspiring and empowering other women, and that's how I've chosen to do it, is to be my authentic self and to stop pretending like I'm a loan officer, a mortgage broker. I'm an entrepreneur, and I help other women succeed. And you know, there's nothing more gratifying than somebody who doesn't think they can own a home and to helping them figure out how to get there. And that, to me, is what drives me almost every day.
This is great, Mona. I know you've got so much energy, and I know you could share for the next hour, and it would be really interesting. but I think the piece that I'm going to stand that stood out for me is a couple things you said. One is you said money isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Which is such a theme of our group here. And money's important, but it's not worth sacrificing yourself in that
That's
level.
Right.
And the other thing you said was find the superpowers that are for you and do the things that you're good at and delegate the things that you're not good at to somebody else.
That's
and
right.
That is really, really great. Thank you. I mean, what did you all learn from listening to Mona? Anything? And those in the chat could write a few things down. That would be great. Oh, my God, yeah, you, both of you have just shared such great stuff here, and I'd love to hear what you're all taking away from these stories, because, just what you said there about delegating, I've had to really do that with putting on this event in a way that I didn't know how to do before, but it's like I've had to really stick with doing the things that I like doing and giving the things that I don't like doing to somebody else, like you, Phyllis. And it's hard because I'm sort of a control freak in a way, and I like things being done a certain way. But, you know, it's not worth it to do stuff I don't like doing. So, yeah, know yourself, know your gifts, honor them. It's wonderful. And meeting people and having fun is part of work. Yeah, Naomi says, know what you will and will not accept. Beautiful. Yeah, and, you know, what Denise says, totally agree on the delegation. It's also difficult, especially when starting small in terms of cash. Yeah, and Denise, it's true for most of us visionary entrepreneurs. We don't have the money at the beginning. Most of the clients I work with are struggling financially when they start their business. When I have clients that are farther along in the business, there's a little bit more money to hire people. But it's so important. And the first person I hired was a bookkeeper because, you know, I know that I needed to learn it, but I didn't want to do it myself, you know, and I love that. I just get that crisp profit and loss statement after my bookkeeper comes and I can look at it. Yeah, but the technical stuff gives me a headache, a lot of things I don't like doing. So it's been important. Gail says boundaries. Just because we're good at something doesn't mean we have to do it. Yeah, and that's another really good point. That's a really good point. Okay, everybody, this is great. You guys have just been wonderful, and I'm going to – hopefully it'll be time for to get both of you to come back and say one more thing before we end. I wanted to read – what I've been doing is reading a teeny little piece from my book,
on each one of these calls. And this is, what I'm going to read here is from Chapter 8, which is called Seasons and Cycles, okay? And it's, I start out by saying, women's adult lives are all influenced by a silver thread of connection to moon cycles, sometimes called the triple goddess, which includes the life stages of maiden, mother, and crone. No matter what nationality, color, or income level, we all have the same invisible relationship with the moon and our sisters, right? It's really true. Our cycles begin with our first blood and ends when we are leaving this life. During the years in between, we choose our life path. But everyone experiences the influence of these monthly developmental cycles because all women are born with a womb, which is our energy center. The blood becomes a river. We travel from puberty through menopause, and then our blood transforms into greater insight during the wise woman years. Right now, you might be wondering what this has to do with wise woman entrepreneurism, but it does. I've been working intimately with women of all ages for the past 40 years. 40 years. And I haven't met a single woman who is not highly affected by either pregnancy, child raising, period pain, cyclical energy fluctuations, menopause, the list goes on. As women, we have to balance our professional lives with our natural cycles and developmental changes as they arise. These changes show up differently for each woman, but they always show up. So to pretend that you can fix them or make them go away is paramount to living a life out of sync with who you really are. And I go on in that chapter, but I think you all get it. It's sort of the theme here of how women are really do business a different way and how we have to acknowledge those parts of ourselves. Does that make sense for all of you that are reading there, that are in the chat? You could write something, because I feel really strongly about this, and I have had women that I've worked with that have come from the corporate world that felt like they just were made fun of, you know, blamed it, oh, you're having your period or whatever, for their moods and all that. And whereas sometimes, you know, women's intuition and our inner sight has so much that we can offer in the world of business. Yeah. Thanks, Naomi. I really love your, yeah, you understand that too. So, you know, writing this book has been walking through the fire for me. I think I've said this to you all. And there's so many stories in here by so many amazing women. And it got me into doing my art again. My book is full of my doodles that I started drawing. I started drawing the doodles and posting them on Facebook. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, they need to go in the book. So the book is full of my own little drawings as well. And it's really a book about how to be. And I read on the back cover, this is not your usual business how-to book. Instead, it's a how-to-be book that will empower you to grow your business the wise woman way. So, as I said before the last 2 days, this book is available now for you to buy ahead of time. It's been completely written, and it's getting ready to go get printed. And you're going to be the first ones to get this. It will be a signed copy of the book and some other bonuses that are going to go with it. So those of you in the chat can click on that red banner right there, and the rest of you can go to wiserandwilder.com to order it. And ordering it today would be great, and I'll be smiling when I see your order come through. Every order that's coming into my inbox, I just feel your heart. I feel your support, and it's beautiful. There's another really good bonus on that sales page, wiserandwilder.com, which I'm offering a really special way that you can just get a snippet of coaching help from me using some of the I have activities in each of the chapters of the book that are amazing. And by the way, my very favorite thing to do, and I want you to raise your hand high, even if you're not on the chat, if this is something you enjoy, I love running rituals with women and doing retreats. So I did a women's retreat at the Oregon coast a few years ago before I even knew I was going to write this book, and started doing some of these activities. And
I'm planning another one coming up soon. I'm not sure if it's going to be next fall or next spring, but it's coming up. And I have a one-day workshop that we're going to be doing a lot of these different activities, a one-day workshop in Portland in June. So ask me about that as well. So I'd love to get some ending comments from Taya and Mona. Taya, do you have anything, if you have one little teeny piece of advice or something you want to leave for the people, what would you like to say, Taya?
Thank you. Thank you, Kaya, for having me. And I think the one thing, if I could have everybody just kind of tune in to what it is they love most about the work they do and make a commitment to guard that fiercely and nurture it in whatever way you can, even when it feels like you hear this criticism in the back of your head, that nobody will pay for that.
Yeah, I love that. That is great advice. Because it's not true.
That's true. That's exactly
right.
That's true.
People will pay for it, especially if you've got that lined up. So, okay, Mona, 1 minute advice from you.
I love that, Taya. You know, it took me a long time to realize I was smart, like what you were saying before, Kaya. It wasn't until I went to grad school at Pinchot University where I took a class about creativity where I was like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm creative. And I think I've tried to bring now my authentic self to everything I do with all my clients and all the other things that I do. And ever since I've done that, just being authentic, truly authentic, it's worked in so many areas of my life. And I think we're so afraid to bring our whole selves to work or our business or our relationships. And when you do bring your whole self, I think your whole world just kind of opens up.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, both of your pieces of wisdom at the end here go together. You be authentic, you bring your whole self in, and you can make money even more so from that place. Because what you've all said, when I finally brought my whole self in and stepped into my true self and did my branding from that place, if you want to use marketing language, that's when my business just started picking up. So, yeah. Okay, thank you both so much for being here, both Tay and Mona. Really wonderful and great ending comments from both of you, too. Next week we have 3 more days of this wonderful event, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And next Tuesday we have Susanna Mehta, which is amazing. You're going to love her. Some of you know Susanna, right? And Jocelyn Mozak, who is also another amazing woman. We have both of them on Tuesday, and I invite all of you here, to go to the Facebook group and share today what your takeaways are from today's circle, right? We're still in circle with each other during this entire time. The fire is not going out, and we keep it tended there in the Facebook group, so show up, share, tell your own story. This isn't about you just hearing ours. We want to hear yours as well. And that's some place where you can tell your story in the Facebook group. So I really invite you to do that. Thank you all. Head over to wiserandwilder.com, please, and check out my bonuses and my book if you already haven't done that. And I'll see you all in the Facebook group just after we hang up. And I'll see you all again in our next circle, which is next Tuesday. And keep your eye open for the emails that are coming, okay? Email reminders. So thank you all for your comments. Thank you, Rose and Gail and Taya and Paola and Naomi, all of you that are
in the chat.
And all of you that are listening, all of you listening to the recording. I love you all, and we'll see you next week at the same spot, and I'll see you in the Facebook group in a few minutes. All right?
Thank you, Kaya.
Bye-bye.